This Snake Isn't Venomous by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling.
Sort of fitting in to the enigmatic necromancer Theodric the First. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today,
droned the infamous spectral history of magic teacher Professor Binns.
Be sure to read pages 186 through 208 before our next lecture.
The unobservant ghost seemed to be blissfully unaware of the fact that he'd lost over two-thirds of his class. Indeed, some of them had drifted off to sleep. As if the last few words of his spiel were magic, the inattentive students woke up, stretching and yawning in unison. One student, however, remained completely in her element. Renata Fairchild furiously scratched her quill on parchment, writing everything the instructor said verbatim, as she had the foresight to realize that there were occasional bits of information that could only be gleaned from paying attention in class rather than strictly going from the book. She stayed seated even as her classmates rushed to the door as if the class were more on fire. Renata was a first-year student, a muggle-born Ravenclaw that enjoyed learning for the sake of learning. She had a taciturn, even somewhat aloof personality. She did not make friends easily, but this didn't bother her much. She didn't have time for friends, she told herself. Why waste time socializing when that time could be better used for pursuing academic interests? She could be described as cute. She wore her shoulder-length russet hair in twin braided pigtails, and behind a pair of black square-framed spectacles were two sparkling ice-blue eyes that carried both a healthy dose of girlish innocence and curiosity, and also a wisdom that belied her scant years. She was of a slight frame, and while she was far from tall, she wasn't close to being the shortest student in her year. In fact, she was taller than some second-year students. She walked with a bit of a pigeon-toed gait, one that tended to draw the occasional gawk or snicker, but she had more or less gotten used to the unwanted attention. 2 full minutes had passed since Binns dismissed his class before Renata looked up from her notes. She had the rare skill of writing both quickly, legibly, and accurately. She did a once-over to make sure there were no misspellings. She nodded to herself in satisfaction, then she packed her things in her book bag.
"It's Thursday," she remembered. "I have a free period next. Might as well spend another quiet hour in the library."
Renata stood from her seat and smiled at Professor Binns as she made her way out of the classroom.
"See you next Tuesday, Professor,"
she squeaked with a nod toward the specter. Professor Binns nodded at the precocious child. His expression was impassive as always.
"Have a good day, Miss Forrestal,"
he wheezed in a well-meaning tone.
"Study hard."
Renata giggled.
"It's actually Fairchild, sir, and they always do."
She left the classroom, knowing full well that most of her classmates were long gone by that point. Her thoughts then shifted toward potions. She had made it a personal goal of hers to impress Professor Snape. Although his compliments toward Renata were rarely anything other than backhanded, she much preferred that over his blatant insults that he regularly threw toward her bumbling classmates. She had so busied herself in thought about how to best impress the aloof potions master that she didn't even pay attention to a pair of older boys coming from the opposite direction in the second floor corridor. Boof! Renata must have bumped into one of the boys. She took a bit of a tumble backwards, plus her book bag flung open, with her books, papers, and wand scattering about.
"Hey, Forrest, why don't you watch where you're going?"
one of the boys remarked in a glowering tone.
"Maybe this sword needs to have her specs adjusted,"
the other boy added with a snicker. Renata looked up. The boys didn't look much older than herself, second maybe third years, but they were both nearly a full head taller than her, and probably 2 or even 3 stone heavier. She looked at their robes and uniforms. A lump formed in her throat as soon as she made out the unmistakable Slytherin emerald and silver. The first boy smirked at Renata.
"I mean, Dad, you're here to save you, little girl," he said in a mocking tone. He raised an eyebrow. "What's your name, by the way?"
Renata's heart raced. She'd been bullied and harassed in the past, but these boys weren't just mean, they were downright scary, she thought. Her mouth opened and closed several times as if to respond, but she couldn't help but feel paralyzed out of sheer terror.
"Well?" the second boy asked in an impatient tone. "Deckard here asked you a question. You really shouldn't keep him waiting."
I,
stammered Renata. She felt the sting of tears in her eyes. They were threatening to spill at any moment. She didn't want to cry in front of these hooligans. She could show them fear, but she just couldn't let them see her cry.
I'm Renata. Renata Fairchild.
The boys glanced at each other for a moment, then brought their gazes back to Renata with devilish grins. Deckard, the first boy, who was the slightly taller and less beefy of the duo, let out a deep, almost ominous-sounding chuckle.
Fairchild, he murmured.
That doesn't sound like a wizarding name to me. What do you think, Rebecca?
He wiggled his eyebrows to his companion, who looked rather like a bulldog with a round face, squinty eyes, and a short but broad nose. Brubaker's face lit up as he looked to his friend.
Sounds like we got a mudblood here, Deckard.
He turns to Renata.
So, Fairchild, are your folks magical? Are they not?
He drawled in his heavy Cockney accent. Renata, still frightened to her core, could only shake her head no. Deckard looked at Renata with a disapproving sneer.
Just as we suspected,
he muttered to his partner in his Irish brogue. He spoke a bit more loudly this time as he directed his attention to Renata.
You're a swarthy enough. I trust you already know what our great founder thought of mudbloods.
He again looked at Brubaker, then his eyes darted to Renata's 11-inch birch wand lying on the floor, as if giving his partner nonverbal instructions. Renata nodded fearfully. She mustered what little courage she had before replying.
Yes, Salazar Slytherin did not approve of Muggleborn students learning magic. He felt that only those with at least partial magical heritage were fit to study.
Deckard nodded.
You know your history, little mudblood, and I think it's time that we reminded you of your place in our world.
He emphasized the word our in such a way that Renata knew that it was meant to exclude her. As Renata replied to Deckard's question, Brubaker advanced toward Renata's wand and picked it up. He spun the grayish wand in his fingers, then thrust out his tongue in disgust. He then tossed it to Deckard, who looked at it with a disapproving expression of his own. Deckard then looked at Brubaker, and the same devilish grin appeared on his face.
Go pick up your things, little mudblood,
Deckard told the quaking girl as he held her wand in his right hand.
And then maybe you can get your stupid little twig back.
The two boys chortled as Renata gathered every loose paper, book, and quill, and deftly packed them away in her bag. When she finished, Deckard approached Renata and thrust out his hand which held her wand. He uncurled his fingers, and just as Renata reached out to retrieve her wand, Deckard's fingers quickly closed up, and he tossed the wand to Brubaker, who caught it with ease in his left hand.
Come on, please give it back,
begged Renata.
This isn't funny.
Oh, but it's very funny, little mudblood,
chortled Brubaker.
If you want your precious little stick so bad, you'll need to take it.
He casually tossed the wand back to Deckard as Renata approached Brubaker, and the two cruel Slytherin boys kept tossing it back and forth whenever Renata got close enough to take it.
Keep away, keep away,
the two boys chanted, clearly reveling in Renata's frustration. Renata even started jumping, hoping to catch the wand in mid-flight, but she was neither tall nor athletic enough to reach it. Her eyes began to sting again, and this time she was helpless to prevent the tears from spilling. She continued trying in vain to retrieve her wand, but the boys refused to relent. Defeated, she slung her backpack over her shoulders and began trudging her way back to the library. But to her surprise, she heard a sharp, feminine voice call out behind her.
What the hell do you Burks think you're doing?
Renata turned around and saw a girl of perhaps 13 or 14 sneering at Brubaker and Deckard. Renata felt her sobs and sniffles beginning to dissipate as she watched the young teen take on the bullies by herself.
This girl's beautiful,
Renata thought to herself. She found herself admiring and even envying the perfect halo braid she wore, not to mention her practically flawless skin, nails, and teeth.
I wish I was half as pretty,
she thought with a small sigh.
Come on, Greengrass, protested Deckard. We were just teaching that mudblood first to her place in the wizarding world.
Smack.
The girl called Greengrass gave both boys a hard slap upside the cheek. Her eyes narrowed to ominous slits.
How dare you, she seethed. You Neanderthals are lucky I'm resisting the urge to hex you.
Although she was somewhat tall for a girl, she was still shorter than either of the boys and far slimmer. She was no match physically for either of them, let alone the both of them. Renata couldn't help but marvel at seeing how this Greengrass girl could use words more effectively than brute force or magic.
Greengrass gestured toward Renata while reprimanding the boys. "That Thirsty's place," she said, enunciating her words in a deliberate manner, "is probably at the top of her year. You won't be able to get away with harassing her for too much longer, because you know as well as I do, it's just a matter of time that little witch surpasses your meager prowess." Her tone became darker still. "Now give me her wand, or I might just change my mind about refraining from magic." Brubaker nodded toward Deckard, who slowly handed the wand to Greengrass with a resigned expression on his face. Greengrass snatched the wand from the boy's hand and turned her nose up as she left the boys with stunned expressions on their faces. She then purposefully made her way toward Renata, who had finally noticed that the girl's uniform and robes were Slytherin green, just like her tormentors. She had been sitting by a statue of a scantily clad young woman standing under a tree, and once again she felt the tears spill down her cheeks. Greengrass sat down next to Renata and returned her wand with a warm smile on her face. "Boys can be so stupid sometimes, but Slytherin boys are a special breed of stupid." "Thank you," murmured Renata with gratitude. She pointed at the green and silver motif on Greengrass's uniform. "I'm surprised you stuck up for me like that. Greengrass, was it?" Her eyes were still moist from freshly spilt tears, but her face held a hopeful expression. Greengrass only broadened her smile. "Just because I was sorted into Slytherin doesn't mean that I buy into blood supremacy. In fact, quite a few of us don't." She then giggled. "Yes, the handle's Greengrass, but you may call me Daphne if you like." She then pointed at the statue on Renata's other side. "This is a statue of a dryad," she explained. "You know the Zal, right?" Renata nodded. "There are tree spirits in Greek mythology. And if memory serves, Daphne was a spirit much like a dryad. It means crowned with laurels, I believe." Daphne gave Renata an approving look. "I was right about you. You're exceptionally well studied." She cocked her head ever so slightly. "By the by, I don't remember catching your name. I know you're Muggle-born, but that's nothing for you to be ashamed of, I promise. Anyone who looks down on you is either an idiot or jealous or both." Renata sniffled softly. "I'm Renata Fairchild." Daphne gave Renata another warm smile. "I'm charmed to meet you, Renata. Your name comes from Latin. It means rebirth." Renata nodded with a little grin of her own. "I guess I'm not the only smart girl at Hogwarts." "Not even close," giggled Daphne. "Contrary to popular belief, Ravenclaw doesn't have a monopoly on the smarties. Even Gryffindor has some bright students. Surely you've at least heard of Hermione Granger. She's a third-year student like myself." She gave Renata a knowing look. "You remind me a lot of her, actually." Renata nodded. "I know of her, yeah." Her eyes widened. "So were the stories of her sneaking off with Ron Weasley and Harry Potter after hours during their first year actually true? And was it true she was petrified by a basilisk last year?" "Every last bit of it," confirmed Daphne. She shook her head as if trying to push back a bad memory. "If it weren't for her, we would have won the House Cup for the 7th straight year when we were firsties, and Potter and Weasley got an obscene number of house points from the headmaster himself, mere hours before the House Cup was awarded last year. It's no secret that Professor Dumbledore gives the Golden Boy special treatment, but I don't hold it against him or anything. Harry Potter is an impossible boy to hate, after all. We don't talk a lot, but in our few interactions I have found him to be nothing but kind and courteous. I get the feeling he resents the celebrity that goes with being the boy who lived. He doesn't actively look for attention, but he gets it anyway." Renata gave Daphne a bemused look. "Is it true that he offed 2 defense teachers? I've heard that position is cursed." Daphne giggled. "Not exactly. Last year, Professor, and I use the term loosely, Lockhart, ended up getting committed after he tried casting Obliviate on Potter and Weasley, but had ended up backfiring on himself. And the year before, Professor Quirrell, who was secretly in league with you-know-who, vanished without a trace. Rumour says that that was Potter's doing, but what 11-year-old could knowingly kill a fully trained wizard, even one as bumbling as Quirrell?" Renata could only shrug. "I really don't know what to think about that," she finally said after pondering Daphne's words. She then arched an eyebrow. "You seem to be at least a little fond of them. They aren't friends of yours, are they?" This time it was Daphne's turn to shrug. "I think we can comfortably consider ourselves acquaintances, but friends is a bit much. Inter-house friendships can be a challenge, but it's exceptionally difficult to establish and maintain friendships between Gryffindor and Slytherin, even though I personally find those three to be better company than some of my own housemates. For instance, Granger and I sometimes see each other in the library and we'll study together. We admire each other as academic competitors, after all. But there's a reason I'm not in Gryffindor. I'm not brave or adventurous enough to jeopardize my existing friendships just so I can be seen spending time with her outside of purely academic settings, even though I do think she'd be a quality friend to have.
You certainly seem brave to me, Renata replied. You stuck up for me, and I can't thank you enough for it.
You're also not a Gryffindor, remarked Daphne, who couldn't help feeling her cheeks heat up a bit. The rivalry between Slytherin and Ravenclaw is a complete afterthought compared to the one we have with Gryffindor.
House rivalries sound like nothing but rubbish, huffed Renata.
I think students can accomplish more when united rather than divided.
Daphne giggled again.
You're right on both counts.
She stood to her feet and offered her hands to Renata.
You have a free period now, right?
Renata smiled and nodded as she let Daphne help her up.
I was planning on heading over to the library and studying potions. My goal is to get a genuine compliment from Professor Snape before end of term.
Daphne's face brightened.
That's exceedingly difficult, Renata, but not impossible.
She cocked her head.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I do have a bit of a flair for potions. Would you like for me to join you? I may have a few pointers if you're interested.
Renata smiled.
I thought you'd never ask.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.